Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Metanorn's Mini Talk on Log Horizon Season 2. This is episodes 8 and 9 we're talking about. I'm Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And let's jump into rating for two episodes of different flavors. We'll talk about episode 8, which is titled Akihabara Raid, and this is with the 26 maidens of Akihabara going up against Enhart, and we see a lot of different action here. We see how they have their strategy planned out and where they have everybody lined up. I believe it was about 50 meters apart from each other for various abilities and various purposes. And we see that Rise is basically up kind of like, you know, nearby a clock tower, basically leading the entire raid operation.
Right, yeah, she's pulling her best Shiro impression, trying to lead all these people and tell them what to do. And the strategy, like you said, yeah, was to basically kite him around this the city.
Yeah.
So like you said, because the effect of his armor was the more people around him, the more armor and hit points he gets. Mm-hmm. So the strat was keep just the three or two people near him. That way he can't get any higher than, you know, a full city. And they did evacuate. Well, they technically told everyone to stay indoors. So
yeah,
that was pretty good.
Basically,
pretty clever,
yeah, put a curfew out for everybody.
Right, without revealing that, oh, there's a murderer on the loose. So kind of a good way of doing it, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, it was overall, I mean, you know, throughout the entire episode, we see very good strategizing by Rise and everybody else here. But meanwhile, before we get to really start talking about some battle stuff, we see Lanessia and Kinjo, the leader of the Kuni clan, who they had a meeting with earlier, and it was kind of tense between those two. And now Lanessia, it seems like she's been encouraged to kind of speak directly with Kinjo and place more responsibility on him for what has occurred with Nelriff. And that's when they decide to work together to take the magic sort of dome or surroundings over the city. And that is really when they're able to sort of take advantage of him.
Right, yeah, they have to close down basically have to get back, you know, cutting the power off for a bit so they can do what they gotta do. But, you know, Nancy is feeling a little, you know, she was hesitant in the beginning because, you know, the other guy told her, if you shut it down, it may not come back up for a long time. And, you know, but for me, it's like, I guess the characters have adapted so much to this world that maybe having the monsters appear in the city won't be such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I could see it later on being a bad thing, you know, with certain things that happen in the next episode. But yeah, if you had like a raid boss show up randomly in the city, it would be pretty bad. But I think everyone's equipped to like take care of it enough.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we see it as like, okay, this is just an action that they need to take in order to defeat the boss, but it could be setting up some things in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
About Akatsuki's part in the raid, we see two important moments for her that help her to defeat Nelriff. And the first is that she learns a new teaching. She finally learns her own teaching, which is called Shadow Lurk. And this was caused because she was trying to do something so incredibly fast that she ended up basically doing like a crazy, like a shadow clone jutsu like thing. And she's just hitting Nelriff everywhere. So Shadow Lurk is her new ability, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like I said, she was just trying to be a little faster, and then yeah, it split into 2 and 3 and 4, and it's like, oh, I figured a new ability out, which it's pretty cool. I like how they do that in this series, how they... Yeah. They don't really have all the spells right now. They can, you know, they have to actually do the action. So it's like kind of neat to see her actually learn, because that's been her goal for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And we also see the 27th maiden step in, Amanoma, who ran that shop that Akatsuki was interested in getting that sword from, and eventually the raid boss had it. So that's when she gives her, Akatsuki, a reforged katana that she's able to use that eventually they all defeat, they destroy it.
Right, yeah, it was kind of neat seeing that. And she actually reforged it to fit Akatsuki's size, which, you know, it's kind of a small detail, but I mean, it's interesting. But yeah, I mean, if she had a weapon that she could actually use her own self, like it works with her size and everything, she could do some damage, and she does pretty good with herself here in this fight. And I think there's something about the flavor text on her weapon was some kind of like, I don't know what it does, but it's like a restore or something. But yeah, she has a special weapon now, so that's kind of giving her maybe a power up for the season.
Yeah, and the flavor text was catered somewhat, it would seem, to Akatsuki's character.
Right, definitely.
And the big part of there was not exactly defeating Nelref, but destroying the Byakumaru, the sword that he was carrying, because that was what was really the problem there.
It was, yeah.
One thing that we didn't mention that we saw at the end of episode 7 was Akatsuki's new battle outfit, which a little bit of red, much more red in there than we had seen before in her previous attire. That looked really cool. There was a pajama party at the end of the episode, all the girls celebrating their
Yeah.
victory, and that's when you see Akatsuki and Lanessia become more friendly with each other.
Right, yeah, definitely nice seeing that. I guess the reward or payoff that, they did all this stuff, and maybe Alessia can feel a little bit better that her decision she made to turn the power grid off, but it won't bite her. But I think at the beginning, like I said, she was just like stressed out that if I turned it off, all the people playing are gonna hate me for it. But they don't know. It's kind of those things, need to know basis type things. And the pajama thing, it was nice seeing all the girls kind of let their hair down, kind of relax a little bit.
So we move on from that raid to episode 9, the changing battlefield, where Shirei and his crew with Nausicaä and everybody else, Demikasse, they're in the big raid. They're in the depths of Palm, and we see them fighting a boss called Luciette of the Seventh Garden. And the problem that they're having in this battle is they see a lot of pattern changes in it, and specifically the Luciette, when he gets his, it seemed like when he got his health down to a certain percentage, he would sort of summon these, I'm using Destiny terminology here, he summons legions, and when you kill them, they revive the health percentage is returned to Luciette.
Right, yeah. That boss is kind of interesting, like you said. Gets a certain percent, like a phase. He kind of floats in the air and the armor changes color. And it goes from like purple to white. And the purple was, like you said, like these creeps or whatever you want to call them all over him. That every time you kill him, it boosts his hit points up. It reminded me of the when he used the vine, or Shira used the vine power in the first season. That if you cut the vine in half, it doubles the power. So in here, it's kind of the same, but extra restoring hit points. So and they're all kind of like, how do we defeat this? Like, even as a raider myself, that strategy seems a little hard. To everything you kill is gonna heal him. It's like I guess the only option is to not kill those things, and that's what eventually they kind of figure out later. But yeah.
Yeah, they had a strategy there to kind of manage his health better. But the problem is that they're not fighting just Luciette.
Surprise.
Two other bosses, Tel'Tolgar of the Fourth Garden and Ibrahabra of the Third Garden, entered the boss zone. And so now you're talking about three raid bosses at the same time, which is incredible.
Yeah, that is a little as far as the gamers go, like me and you've played so many games and MMOs, like imagine seeing that happen and like in your game you're playing, you're just like, game over, I guess we're done, like log out. Because yeah, like you said, three raid bosses, if they're having trouble with one right now, they can't even do three at once. That's impossible.
Yeah, I wonder how that, I mean, is the game designed to have that, or is that something that's going on with the whole apocalypse thing in a way that the game is being managed from an area that we've never seen in Log Horizon before, that you have three bosses in the same zone.
Yeah, I think that might be a hint that Elder Tale is probably falling apart. That they've been in this, we don't really know how long they've been trapped in this game. It could have been longer than they think. For them it's may have been like a couple years, but actually it could be longer than that. And most games require a patch to fix certain bugs and things, or things like that, or update. And for all they know, this game has been abandoned and hasn't been updated in like forever. So the game's probably slowly falling apart. Things aren't working like they used to. Even with the flavor text, weapons killing, well, maybe killing people. So that tells me something's up.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like a bug free bosses in the same area. That would be me playing Destiny and saying, hey, the Templar, the Gatekeepers, and Aphion are all in the same room. What the hell's going on?
Right, that definitely would trigger some flags. For
Yeah.
a GM would definitely step in and fix that. But yeah, now it's like, well, good luck and don't die. But yeah, they all get pretty much destroyed.
And after this, we knew that I think what we when we saw Akatsuki die earlier, we saw Shirae with her. And now that we have a fuller picture of what's going on, we see that what happened in this battle led to that scene with Akatsuki. And it was one, it was kind of odd to see it repeated in this episode. I thought that wasn't very good. I thought you could have abbreviated it much more than what they did. But we get a little glimpse of Shirae in real life.
Yeah, and then it's like when you saw Akatsuki, well, briefly we didn't even see her face and all that, but this one you see everything with him, and he kind of looks like his avatar in the game, but a little bit different because, the animation is different, obviously. But yeah, he's having this automatic experience where he's remembering an event from his past that, I guess when he was growing up, he didn't have a lot of friends. Well, I mean, so that didn't explain in season one. And he would often, as a kid, walk out by himself and go sit in the park bench by himself and just think about things. I'm like, and he does make a comment that everyone thought he was a little too mature for his age, but I mean, his parents weren't really around, so he had to kind of make his own fun.
Yeah, and in that scene, you know, we see a lot of him seeing him as a young kid, and it brings up a lot of things that we were kind of aware of with Shirae as far as his personality is concerned, and why he kind of left not Log Horizon, the debauchery tea party, and he was kind of solo for a while, unable to trust people. But and then of course we see the scene where they, you know, cut off a piece of their hair, and it kind of symbolizes their memories, and then that's when they revive. So, you know, they're gonna have another go at the raid, it seems.
Right, and yeah, and that flashback with Shiro is more about him accepting certain things. Like, yeah, I know I failed, and for him, it's like he hasn't failed much, so it's like he kind of has to experience that failure to, I guess, to get over that, which is it's kind of nice. I mean, we don't really want our main characters winning all the time. They need that to lose every once in a while to realize, oh, they are not as powerful as I thought it was.
Yeah, and for as you know, I think that's basically what season one was, a lot of them winning the battles that they were going up against, and very cleanly too. And you know, you combine this and the fact that Akatsuki and some others, Sojiro, had failed in the raid, and that we don't know what's happening with Krusty, is that season two there's been a lot of hardships for the characters that we've been following.
Yeah, definitely. This has been an improvement, but at the same time, I can see the complaints people would say. But yeah, like as you said, the only thing I had about the episode I didn't like was the beach scene with them sitting there talking. It's like we've seen this already, but I mean, I understand why they want to see it from maybe a different perspective, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, even that, like, I don't feel like, you know, it could have done it better to where it felt more like Shirae's scene, because when we saw it with Akatsuki, at least, you know, at that moment, it felt like we were following her in her sort of state of death and waiting to be revived, whereas with, you know, Shirae, it felt like the same scene.
Right, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So episodes 8 and 9, I really enjoyed the episode 8 with the raiding, watching Akatsuki kind of grow as a character, get a teaching and a new weapon. Hope and she also got some approval from Shirae afterwards, which was great for her all around in that episode. And some of the raiding stuff is fun, but you know, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with this whole free boss situation.
Yeah, that's great. Same with you. 8, I like that. Akatsuki kind of finally got her focus. I know season one, I was kind of disappointed that they introduced her as this kind of cool character, but they never did anything with her really. So this is maybe their thing saying, "Oh, we want to do something with her now." And it's nice that she kind of stood up and got that power up and all that. And I'm wondering if later she'll join the raid maybe helps cheer her out, but we'll see how that works out. And nine, yeah, more story with him, and the rating stuff was really cool. I like that they still remember it's a game and they put that in there, and it's fun watching them do that. And they also mentioned about maybe they had discovered that when they died, that might be the beta server. So maybe they could
Oh,
figure a
yeah.
way to access that server and finally get out. Which I think that might be the main focus of this season. They might find a way out. I mean, they kind of have to if they are planning to do, this just season alone, but we'll see what happens.
All right, so that's been our mini talks for episodes 8 and 9 of Log Horizon Season 2. Thank you for listening. For Fosh, I'm J-Ro. We'll see you next time.
See you.